Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Water from the Rock podcast, brought to you by the Calvary Baptist Church.
Amen.
With me, as always, trying to think here, the...
Dad.
I'm trying to think of something funny to say.
Yeah, I'm sure you
Last week, so. It was, Tonto to the Lone Ranger?
Yeah, so... I'll be the hill to your Billy.
There you go. And, definitely the leader there. No, I'm going to come up with a good list of things to introduce you as, and or every week we'll be like, yeah, this is, I don't know, I'm trying to think of non-rock ones, because I keep thinking of 80s hair metal for some reason.
Yeah, we need to avoid that.
So. Yeah, well, let's get spiritual now, and...
yeah, exactly.
No, but welcome back. I hope you guys are having a good week.
Yeah, absolutely.
This episode, as you can well tell by the thumbnail, is episode 7. Local or long distance. Now, for any of the younger listeners here, you guys may not know this, but back in the day when I was little, even you had to know long distance or short distance phone calls. If you called local, it wasn't a big deal. If you called long distance, it cost more money.
Yeah,
and usually it involved dialing a one, and it was a nightmare.
And an error code. Yeah.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's not a big deal, and back then it was.
Yeah, I remember as a boy growing up. I remember party lines, but we weren't really too much of that. But like if somebody was in your town, you'd just dial the last four numbers of their phone number, and then they went to where you did, like ours was like our prefix was 839. And so at that time, our phone number was 839-4058.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember you could just dial 9 and then 4058. And I remember
that's crazy.
Call my mom, say, hey, come get me from practice or something, you know. And then my cousin, they lived in another town, and so the last, it was 835, so you dial 5 and then their number, and so that's what it was. And then, like I said, long distance, you would, if it was in your own area code, you dialed the 1 and then just their number, and then now, you know, if you switched area codes or whatever, but nowadays you have to, pretty much have to dial the area code, even like on cell phone, you have to dial the area code as well, so.
That's crazy to me that you used to be able to dial just like 9 and then your last 4 and get there. That's kind of like whenever they used to, what was it? Those old phone lines you call like Aspen Lane 32 or whatever.
Yeah, know? And they say, yeah, back then, and that was really for the operators. That they would, mm-hmm. you know, you would say the town, and then they would give you the number. So instead of the say in the town, now they changed. They give the numbers prefix numbers. So it went from, you know, say like for example, they might have you know, Casper or whatever, you know, and then 3215 or something like that. That now they just make Casper, you know, a prefix of
678
five.
Or something.
Yeah, 5, you know, 571 or something. And but anyway, though, but yeah, I remember when we first moved to Mount Clair in 1986, I believe it was, getting turned 16 years old, and
mm-hmm.
and we had just moved to Mount Clair. And I remember my cousins, I had a cousin that lived in Benail, and it was you just dial the last four numbers to call their house. So
really,
yeah.
I mean, Benella isn't too far away, though.
Well, yeah, it's in the same town, basically.
Yeah.
You didn't even have to dial the 5 in front of it. So
that's crazy.
Yeah, I always called my cousins that way.
So. Back in my day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, back when there were people used to dream of black and white.
I did. I made that old person voice that, back in my day. And then immediately you went, yeah.
And that wasn't on purpose.
Yeah, no, it's funny. And but anyway... Long story short here, guys, we're to get into it. I just thought we'd talk a little bit about what the meaning of the name was. Today, we want to talk about prayer, long distance versus short distance. Is God really around? Is he really there? We're going to talk about how to pray. We're going to talk about kind of how Pastor structures his prayer life and why he does it that way. And we're going to, if we have time, we want to get into a special thing, the prayer list. We're going to talk about, you know, when should we really bring, the Bible says, you know, when 2 or 3 gather in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We're going to talk about whenever we should probably try to make prayer more private, or, you know, when it should be just a you thing to pray about, or whenever you should get more people than just yourself to pray about something. If we have time, we're going to get into that. But today we primarily want to focus on, you know, is God really around when you're praying? You know, how do you really connect to God? And this kind of goes hand in hand with what we talked about last week about our relationship with the Lord.
Sure.
One of the things that you and me had talked about, Dad, is, and I'm going to kind of spearhead this. I'm sorry. Maybe I should let you do it.
No, go ahead on.
If I say it, I'll probably remember a little better. But one of the things you had brought up to me when we were talking about this just recently was even whenever God's not around, he still very much is a present with you. And as you remember, last week we talked about our relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
And how we had talked about, he was actually my wife, Ashley, in last week. But the truth is, if this is true of your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, just whenever, even when you're not having, you know, that really close connection, like, whenever I, like, I'm cuddling with my wife, stuff like that, that's a very close, intimate time. We're really just vulnerable with each other. We'll have that really close connection. But other times I'm out fixing the light socket or installing something stupid that she wants me to put in, like the dishwasher or, you know,
that ain't stupid.
Something stupid. And a money waster. But anyway, and we got a perfectly good sink. But
I was going to say, I had 5 children. That's why I never had a dishwasher. And, so.
Fair enough. But, you know, there's times where I'm out, you know, and I'll be taking care of the trash and haul the trash in the morning, or I'll be cleaning up stuff and burning the wood from the project left over, you know, burn all the scraps. And when I'm not doing stuff like that, it doesn't mean I don't love her any less, even though I'm not right next to her. I'm still very much present. She's still very much still my wife. And whenever we're talking to the Lord, our relationship with the Lord doesn't change just because we're in a different thing. We're not just crying in the presence of the Lord, worshiping Him. That doesn't change the fact that we still love God and that we're still connected.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that.
That's so something you brought up. I just really appreciated that.
Yeah, I think, again, you know, if you learned anything about me, I'm kind of not really kind of traditional and like get up there and, well, read your Bible and pray and, you know, give your tithes and go to church and, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing, as much as I am about really a relationship with God. And you know, I've said it 1,000 times, and people all the time, you know, your messages are so many times you bring up on how the way you see God and the way God's. But again, how you see somebody determines how you love them.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and so I'm always about the image of God in your life or how you see Him. And I'm always about relationship and prayer, and really that's what it's all about. And the Bible says, you know, my house will be a house of prayer. And you know, you and I were talking about this, and sometimes we don't feel very close to God, and sometimes we feel like, you know, is He even around? And other times mm-hmm. we kind of maybe sense His presence and stuff. And to me, I feel like, again, if you look, I've always been a believer that the spiritual world, our physical world we live in, is a reflection of our spiritual world. Brother Suter used to say that. My pastor used to say that. And I just I'm a huge believer in that. And so if you look at the things that are consistent in throughout time, those are definitely God's design. So for example, relationships, marriages, family, governments, and you know, storms, weather. Those things are consistent, you know. You see that throughout time. They are so God's designs, and they reflect really what's going on in your spiritual life. And so, like, for example, when you talk about a marriage and the intimacy that a husband and wife would have, and, excuse me, I'm going to cough here. And anyway, you talk about that, and sorry about that, Tyler. I know it'd drive you crazy.
Not about me at all, actually.
Anyway, but you talk about a husband and wife and their closeness. There are times where they're, you know, they're cuddling, they're smooching. It's a time of real close intimacy. It's a time of deep connection emotionally, and they feel close to each other. They feel very, you know, very like I'm the only one in their life, and mm-hmm. you know, and they're the only one in my life, and there's just this real close connection and intimacy. And then there are other times where maybe you're sitting on the couch and you're brushing her hair, or she's rubbing your shoulders, or whatever it may be. And then there are other times where, you know, she's putting the kids to bed, and you're you know, maybe straightening up something in the bathroom or something, and maybe, like you said, you know, you're fixing the dishwasher or whatever while she's doing something in the kitchen, or you're changing a light bulb or something. Each one of those things, you're close to each other.
Yep.
Each one of them are emotional experiences with each other. Some are just different types of emotions. Some are practical. Some are practical emotions, and some are intimate or passionate emotions, and you just have different types. The same way with God. Then God orders up in your life times where you're going to be much more closer and intimate with Him. And then there are going to be times where it's going to be His presence is going to be much more practical, and it's going to be much more things to do for the glory of God. And it's not necessarily you feel incredibly close to Him. You just know He's with me. And, you know, Bible talks about how the Lord's with me, or His hand is good upon me, Nehemiah said, and stuff like that. And so you're going to have those times where His presence is just more practical. It doesn't mean He's not close. It doesn't mean that His attitude towards you has changed at all. It's just that at this time, there's a responsibility or task at hand, and you're to do that. And so the presence of God is really, you know, you get that once you get saved, and you want to walk in His presence. but it's going to have different emotions attached to it. Just like when you get married, you want to get married so that you can experience all the emotions of a relationship, or not for that reason, but I mean, just say in that you experience a lot of the all the emotions of a relationship, but you can't have all of them at the same time, or have them all at the same time, or have them all only just that one. If all you have was a practical relationship, it'd not be a very enjoyable marriage. If all you have was an intimate relationship, then you would not be very practical. You'd never be used for anybody, being of any use. Electricity gonna get cut off, you know. So it's just one of those things that there has to be balance. And so God does that. And again, these are reflections of he allows your physical world to teach you about your spiritual world, to teach you about your spiritual relationships and stuff. And so in the same way it comes to prayer, when your prayer time, that's just an intimacy time. You know, the Bible says to walk in prayer, obviously walk in closeness, but it's also a special time of intimacy with God, most often your personal prayer life. But then there can be times where it's not going to be so intimate, it's going to be more practical, where you're praying with other people. You know, I mean, when somebody says, preacher, could you please pray with me about this? And, you know, and I start to pray over them, or I start to pray with that matter with them. And you know, it's not like it is when I'm out on my prayer time in the mornings with the Lord. You know, I get up every morning and go pray. And sometimes there it's like so, I can so sense the presence of God and feel so close to him, and I can just be everything, you know, my whole heart poured out. Whereas I'm not going to do that whenever I'm praying over this guy to get a job or this lady to have a baby or something.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? That makes sense.
You know. So it's just going to be more practical. And there's going to be times where we assemble together as a church, which we do, and we pray corporately together as a body. You know, two or three gather my name there, am I in the midst? You know, and now some people say, well, you should not have, I don't believe in corporate prayer time where, you know, you gather a bunch of people together. And then there's some that say, well, you do that, but then you don't pray out loud. You know, I don't know about that. I mean, I think when you see two or three gather my name there, am I in the midst, I think they're probably talking to the Lord together. You know, if you look at the disciples, there were several of them talked to Jesus at once. You know, James and Peter and John all had conversation at the same time with him, basically. You know, so, I mean, that's a conversation. What do you think prayer is? Prayer is simply heart communication with the Lord.
Yeah, prayer isn't something special. It's just
yeah, it's not a liturgy that you say. It's simply, your heart talking to God's heart, you know.
Absolutely.
So
you said it so much better than I ever could.
I don't know about that, but anyway, though, but that's really the whole purpose of a prayer, is to have that, you know, that closeness to God and your heart communicate to his heart. And then, of course, and then some return, you know, again, in an intimate relationship with someone, it's not, you know, just only the wife speaks, the husband speaks too, or, you know, which granted, she may say more than he says, or he may say more than she says, but, you know, there's a two-way conversation going on. And usually in prayer, that's the way it is with the Lord. And I found, to be honest with you, some of my barest prayer times is when I said three words and he said the rest, you know. So I didn't even have to ask for anything because he already told me he was going to take care of it. You know, there have been times when I go to pray and he's just like, he tells me he's going to take care of it. I'm like, I don't even need to ask him now.
How do you get to that point where you can have that kind of prayer life?
I don't know. I think it's just, you know, goes back to singleness of mind and singleness of heart. I think the Bible says you'll find him if you seek him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Now, as much as I remember when I first got right with the Lord and think about that, and I think, oh, man, I am so far from that. You know, I'm like, oh, I got so many things in my life that I'm never going to get out of my life. But that's not, I don't know. I just kind of set that aside, and I thought, you know what? For this moment, right now, I'm going to set everything aside, and all my mind and all my heart, everything is just going to go after him. And then you'd find him. And then when you find him, it's like that stuff didn't even come back now. You know, it's like I was just there in his presence. And it's like, I have no desire to worry about this now. I have zero desire to do that. I have no desire. I'm not even worried about it. It could be very bad. I'm not worried about it because I'm in his presence. You know, I'm enjoying his presence and stuff. And then there have been times where, you know, like, for example, Joshua, whenever he prayed that the Lord would make the sun stand still. You know, again, when does he do that? What he does then is, that's practical. You know, that's not him and God or having a close moment together. That's him saying, God, if I'm going to do your work, if I'm going to do your bidding, I'm going to accomplish your will here, you're going to have to help me here. You know, and so it's a different thing. And then you see the Israelites crying out together, and you see that, and you know, for God to deliver them or whatever it may be. And again, there was needs and things of that nature. So, but I think as you begin to seek the Lord and really get close to him and know him, you'll have those moments of intimacy. You know, for example, I'm not trying to sound crude or anything like that. I know it's a podcast and we want to try to be careful of what we say, but when a husband and wife, when they first get married, their wedding day, she walks down the aisle, she's beautifully adorned. He's going, man, I'm the luckiest guy on the earth. Mm-hmm. Or he's going, boy, my dad's her daddy's shotgun in my back, you know, you know, he's looking at her, he feels like he's the luckiest man in the world because he's marrying this wonderful woman. And she may feel the same way. She may go, man, he is the greatest man I've ever known, you know. And then what happens? They say their vows. Their hearts are communicating. They mean those things. And then, you know, it's consummated that evening or whatever, whenever. And there's this beautiful intimacy. It's between them. And it's this deep connection, you know. Now, every so often, they're going to reach those same types of levels of deep connection. Not always, but just because they separate, they come together, they're in their own private environment, and there's this time of closeness together. God does the same thing with you and I, only in a spiritual sense. We get close to Him, and we have those moments. And sometimes it's you don't say a thing, and sometimes it's you doing all the talking, and it's Him doing all the, you know, helping. And it's just a very close, intimate. But then there are other times where that husband and wife, they're going to go out and wash the car together. Or they're going to go out and mow the grass and trim the yard. And he's going to get on the lawnmower and she's going to get on the, you know, the flower beds and start weeding and whatever, and or vice versa. But they're enjoying it together, you know. Some of my best times and memories with my wife, you know, are just us doing things together. I remember a trip we took down to North Carolina one time. And the drive down there, she was constantly going through the Sirius. We had this little Sirius XM radio or whatever mm-hmm. it was. Like at the time period, it wasn't Sirius. It was just XM. There was the two different brands before they merged. And she's just constantly scanning, trying to find something, you know. And she's like literally 12, 13-hour drive. And she goes, I don't think I looked up but three times, you know. But we had so much fun just going through all that and doing all that and having a good time and that. So it's an intimacy thing, you know. It's just... You have those times and where you'll enjoy the boy. I tell you what, I had myself a time whenever I was preaching that sermon. I had myself a time counseling that or doing that particular broadcast or podcast, or had myself a time teaching that Sunday school class that day. It was just something else. It's just some of your best memories you'll have, that prayer time, that you just have some great memories from that. It's because, it's just a picture of normal relationships. It's you and God. So that's all it is. And so if you don't understand that, you can get confused and you think, oh, well, I don't have that intimate feeling. Well, yeah, you big dummy. Right now it's practical feeling or whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So
that makes sense.
He doesn't change his opinion of you, you know? Yeah, a guy comes home and he looks at his wife and she's got the scowl on her face and he's like, oh, what'd I do wrong, you know?
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you doing home? He goes, well, I normally come home at this time or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then he knows, man, I'm in trouble for something. So immediately he starts going, what's wrong? What'd I do? Because he's scanning his mind. Oh, did I leave my socks on the floor? Did I not put the toilet seat back down or something? You know, you know what I mean? And he's going through in his mind and, you know, or whatever. He kind of senses, but then he walks in. He's been at work all day, and she smiles at him, and he's like, oh, man, I'm glad to be home, you know? And
sure.
She's like, oh, I made your favorite for dinner, or we're going to go out to eat. Or, you know, he comes in, he says, guess what, honey? I'm going to take you out to eat tonight, and, you know, we're putting the kids to bed early or whatever. We're going to watch a movie together. We're going to order pizza or something. And so it's just that closeness, you know, and they have intimate times. They have that. So it's one of those things that, you know, you get a guy or a woman who's married, they are insecure, then they'll constantly, you know, do you love me? Do you care? But, you know, again, a good spouse will try to, you know, refrain from that. So, try to keep them from feeling insecure as much as possible. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense.
And so God does the same thing for you and I. So
let me ask you this. So whenever you go out there to, when you go out there to pray and you're out there trying to talk to the Lord and you're trying to really connect with the Lord, how is it that you structure your prayer life? How would you say that, you know, like, I'm trying to think of how I want to say this. In your mind, is there a specific way you should pray or like a pattern in your prayer life that you follow?
Yeah, you know, I remember, I can't think of the guy's name now for the life of me. He's got a voice that I recognize the voice from somewhere, but it's somebody else to know. But anyway, he seems like a very, very common sense guy. And I think he runs some kind of church or ministry or whatever out, it seems like Seattle or Washington or something like that. And he put out a book on this thing, and it really, I've heard a lot of different ways to pray and that kind of stuff, but it just made the best sense to me. And he uses the Bible says the Lord said to pray after this manner. Mm-hmm. And then we call it the Lord's Prayer: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as being done in heaven. You know, give us day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, we forgive our debtors, and so forth, right? And,
gotta finish it.
Yeah, exactly. It drives you crazy not doing it. But and there are people say, oh, yeah, that's the prayer you pray. But then he immediately says, not to faint, pray vain, repetitious prayers as the heathen do. So he says pray in this manner. He doesn't see to pray this prayer. He's saying pray this as your guideline, as your manner. And so he kind of, he had this, he used basically, you know, how music, whenever somebody's leading music in 4-4 time, you know, then the way they do. But he uses that as kind of a guideline. But anyway, though, it was upward, downward, inward, outward kind of philosophy. And so basically your prayer should start, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So, you know, start off with your prayer, just God, just praising God, just thanking him for being so good, you know. And and so, you know, we always start off just praising God and thanking him, you know.
So is there anything specific that you usually try to praise God for?
You know, I used to try to think of things in the scripture that, you know, that would basically glorify God. Like, for example, you know, you're the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and that kind of thing. And that all worked for me initially, but then I felt like it started to become kind of vain and repetitious. So what I've done, and it's just been doing this for the last few years really, is I just start thanking him for things he's done in recent times.
Hmm.
You know, thanking him for this and that. And I thank him, I always thank him for his mercies and for his, you know, for his patience with me. I always thank him for, you know, being so good and so kind, and I just didn't thank him for his closeness to me and that relationship that we have, and for his mercies, and I just thank him for things that he's done. And Lord, I know you did this and you've done that today, and I thank you for that, or this week, or whatever. And so I start off with that, and I just praise him, and I just tell him how much I appreciate, you know, how he is. Kind of like if you and I are gonna, you know, sit down and talk, and I'm gonna start off with saying, hey Tyler, I just want to tell you, I really appreciate all the effort you put into our sound ministry, or with the bus ministry, or teaching Sunday school, or, you know, or helping out with the men and this and that kind of things that you do. And, you know, and then just, and what I do is I don't try to, I guess, brown nose the Lord as much as I just try to express my heart's desire of gratefulness to him. And so I just think of things I'm very grateful for. You know, I thank him for my children, thank him for letting me be a dad, or let me be a dad, and maybe able to serve him in this ministry and that kind of thing. So I do that. And then I, you know, kind of downward. So it's Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Okay. So then it's a kind of a downward. So then, Lord, all right, I just want to let you know, I'm in submission to you. And Lord, you're the God of the day. You're in charge for the day, and you're going to tell me what to do. You're the general, I'm the soldier. And I just want you to know, I'm in submission to you, and whatever you order up, I'm going to try to do my best to go through. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to try to do my best to do it. And so, Lord, if you'll be with me, I'll go forward, you know. And you see the scripture says, thou art ever with me, and things like that. And, you know, that's somebody that's experienced that. They've been submissive to his will, and so I just surrender myself. And at that time period, I didn't be kind of just take a little bit of time where I don't want to say a lot of anything. And I just finally feel myself relaxing in the presence of God. All right, I'm just simply a vessel in your hand. You want to mold me, you can mold me. You want to shape me, you want to order up a trial, then that's his choice. I don't want to go through some of those things, but he does it. It's good for me. So you know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, it's being done in heaven. Okay. And then give us this day, you know, thy daily bread. So now I say, all right, God, I know I'm in need. I have needs. You know, I have things that I'm in need of. And these are things that, you know, I'm struggling with. These are things that I've had a hard time getting over or healing from, or, you know, Lord, I'm really weak in this area, and, you know, I always give in to that. So, Lord, I want you to forgive me. I want you to help me. I want you to teach me about it so that I can be whatever. I also, maybe I have to pay a bill that I don't have the money for, or I also have, your car's broke down, or somebody else has, you know, said, hey, we noticed that your, you know, your house is, there were some roofing tiles are missing, and I got to come up with a way to fix that or pay for that. And so, you know, it's some of the nature. And so, things that affect me directly, I ask him for. And then, go ahead.
So I was just going to say, is this, Do you ever like tell God, hey God, you know, before I get into my prayer, I did this week. I'm sorry. Yeah. You know, do you start off that way, or is it when you get to this point, you're doing the inward look? Is that when you do that?
If I'm under conviction deeply, I immediately will say, you know, Lord, I'm kind of come to your presence here, Lord, but this is driving me crazy, and I need to just tell you I'm sorry for that. And usually on the inward, I'm confessing my sins.
So you've already gone through your prayer of praise, and you've gone through the downward stroke there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now you're on the inward stroke, and that is whenever you're, hey, God, I messed this up. I'm sorry about this.
Right,
I'm
still here. That's what I meant. I'm sorry. Yeah, on the downward stroke where I'm confessing my sins.
Yeah.
Where, you know, I'm in showing submission. I'm surrendering. I'm confessing my sins. So, you know, if I'm really, something's really bothering me, then I start off with that. I don't go through all the process of that. But, you know, the Bible says in Psalms 100 to come before his presence with singing and enter his courts with praise. Some people, they like to sing, you know, and they come into the presence of God, they just, yeah, they start singing. To me, I don't really think I do very good singing, but I like to put on some songs that really have stirred my heart. Sometimes I'll do that, and so boy, you know, Lord, I sure do thank you for being so good to me, and I sure love your presence, and that kind of thing. And then I can, like I said, I submit, I confess my sins and stuff like that, and then inwardly I ask for the needs to be met, you know, if I'm wanting this relationship or that relationship to change or to be better. I ask for that or whatever it may be. Ask for protection and things of that nature. And then you have the outward, you know, and so now what I'm doing is I'm asking the Lord for others, you know. And so, you know, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, we forgive our debters. And then, you know, the Bible says that, you know, and basically as you forgive your debtors. And so now, you know, to deliver us from evil. And so, God, I want to go forward with your truth. So, Lord, and I want to be used in your hand. And I want to be a vessel in your hand. And so, you know, I start praying for other people. And I start praying for the needs. So,
when you're on the outward look right there, do you start to, is that the time where you go into, like, intercessory prayer and stuff like that? Or you just pray for the needs of people?
Yeah, intercessory prayer is a whole other, you know, thing.
Different ballgame.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, it's very simple. I mean, you're interceding almost all the time when you're praying for other people. That is intercession. Burden bearing is a little different, and most time people call that intercessory prayer. And but it's just one of those things that you start to intercede for somebody. You're talking to the Lord on their behalf, you know, so... So, like, for example, if, you know, how many times that, you know, as a boy, somebody would say, hey, my mom and dad won't let me do this, but if you ask them, they probably would let you, you know? So,
sure, that makes sense.
So, you know, you see them do that, and so now it's like one of those things that I start saying, all right, Lord, Rocky's got this going on, or Tyler or Dustin's got that going on, and, you know, or whatever. So, Lord, I need to know your wisdom on that thing. Lord, how are you going to deal with that? What do you want me to ask you for? What do you want me to do? And so I just kind of pray that away. And sometimes, you know, if you stop and think about it, if you spent 10 minutes on everybody you know, you'd be praying all day, every day.
That's true.
You know, so you got to kind of pick and choose as the Lord leads you here. And, you know, like, for example, you know, we got how many people in our church? If I spent 15 minutes a day on each one, I'd literally have 12, 13 hours in a day in just prayer alone, you know. And that's a lot of praying, which, mm-hmm. again, it's not something I wouldn't enjoy. I certainly would, but, I mean, it's just one of those things that sometimes you got to be a little more practical. So you're going to pick and choose, basically, situations that are going on, people, and others you're going to kind of scan across, Lord, you know. And now you're making, basically, pleading for the Lord on their behalf instead of just reading a list to God.
That does make sense.
There are a lot of people, they just read a list to the Lord. So now you're going to talk to the Lord about that person.
I'm right here.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so, you know, like, for example, my cousin, she's going through some pretty serious health issues. So I say, Lord, you know, my cousin, she's having a hard time. So, Lord, you know, what can I say to do her? What can I do to help her? Lord, would you help her? You know, would you do something for her, Lord? What would you do, Lord? What could you do? Father, would you do something? And the Lord may tell me, I already got this in the bag, you know, I'm going to take care of it this way or whatever. He may just say, just wait and see, you know. Mm. There have been times I've asked the Lord to do something, and he's like, just wait and see. And it's been pretty amazing things, you know.
I hate those times.
Yeah. Well, I remember whenever they told us Levi probably had Down syndrome. Initially, they told us he might have encephaly.
Which is a genetic thing.
Yeah, and
so it's definitely hereditary.
Yeah, and you don't live from from Anniscovalley, and so we were worried about that, and it's right around Thanksgiving, and so we go down to Des Moines to have a test done by this super advanced specialist. They're famous or whatever, and she brings us in, and she goes, oh, she goes, I'm looking at this. She goes, it's not Anniscovalley, it's
Down syndrome.
So they're going to do his amniocentesis and, count the chromosomes and do all that stuff and look at everything, make sure it's good. And I remember leaving that doctor's office, and me and Amy stopped to get something to eat, and we were stopping at a Village Inn, and it was just one of those moments where it's like you had gotten a fight with your wife or something. And
you're just eating because you have the
hiccup. Yeah, and you're like, you're not hungry, you don't want to look at her, she don't want to look at you kind of feeling, we just kind of had that spirit about us and stuff. And my pastor called me, and I was so glad because I just wanted to get up from that table, And and I remember walking outside to call and talk to him, and he goes, "What's going on?" And I tell them, And he said, here's what I said. I said, I told my wife, I said, we're going to do this. I said, I don't know, but I'm just going to believe God anyway. I didn't have any promise. I didn't feel like anything in my heart. Just chose to believe him. And I felt like the Lord just said, so just wait and see. And of course, we wanted it by Thanksgiving, which I don't think we did. We had to end up, they told us 3 weeks, ended up being four. And finally, they called, and I was at work, and she called me, and she goes, the doctor called, and she goes, everything's good. And which we know Levi's probably still a bit challenged, but it's just things like that. So sometimes you have that. So,
I hate those times when you have to wait on the Lord for an answer. It's just, I'd be so much happier if you just take care of it, But then you don't have faith.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Somebody was asking me the other day about a job, and I said, well, there should be an element of faith to everything. You have to have some kind of leap of faith no matter what it is you do. And and again, waiting times are very good for us. The Bible says we renew our strength. We mount up with wings as eagles. We'll run and not be weary and walk and not faint. The reason why you can do that is because you waited. So God puts you through waiting times so that you're strong enough to be able to run and not be weary, and walk and not faint. And because I'm one of these people, I tend to walk and get faint, I get discouraged easily or whatever. And so God puts me through waiting times, teach me those things, strengthen me and stuff. So
that's good. just kind of reiterate, kind of breeze through this podcast here, but you said that during your prayer time you follow the upward, downward, inward, outward strokes.
And that's most often, always, but most often, yeah.
And that's praising the Lord and then confessing a sin.
Yeah, surrender and submission, yeah. Confession.
Just focusing on Him, then cleaning yourself up, then what you need, your needs, and then the needs of others.
Yeah. Okay. So, and I know most people would say, well, I think it needs to be the other way, outward and inward. And a lot of times I'll do that. I'll start praying for others I'll pray for my own needs and things like that. But, so I find myself sometimes probably more often doing that than.
But it's really important to start off with the praise and then the.
Yeah, you have to get into His presence. And once you get into His presence, you can talk to Him about anything.
I know we're over on time here, but when we were talking about that, I had this idea. That's almost kind of like that drive-through Christianity where you expect to be able to give your order and then get your stuff back, and that's not really how it works.
It's
first.
Yeah, he's not a fast food place. He's a sit-down restaurant, And
speaking of which, let's go get something to eat.
As I say, and sometimes he's like when you smoke your ribs, it's an all-day process.
Well, it actually starts the night before, but
exactly. It's
true.
So,
I'm hungry. Being a Baptist ain't easy.
Yeah, exactly. Barbecue ribs and grilled steak and hamburgers and
absolutely
fried chicken. So, but anyway, though, but yeah, that's exactly kind of the things I do. I know you'd asked about group prayer and that. Is that something we want to look at too, or say that for another time?
We might need to say it for another time. We're already pretty far over, so
okay, sounds good.
Let's go ahead and wrap it up, and we'll hit on that maybe next week, or maybe we'll put together another prayer podcast and move forward with that. But hopefully this week's been a blessing to you. Thanks again for coming in. I know you're busy, so
absolutely.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Hopefully it's been a blessing to you. Remember, download our app, go to our website, leave us a review on not something I normally ask for, but go ahead and I don't know if you listen to us on Spotify, if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, where you're listening to us from, but wherever you are, leave us a 5-star review. It helps other people find us. At least that's what they say. Let us know. Leave us a comment. Let us know how you feel about us. Let us know if it's helping you. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us through that, as well as on our app. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, but thank you guys for tuning in. Remember, like I said, buy theblood.org or download the app, Water from the Rock. Remember, the Lord loves you. Have a great day.
Amen. Yeah.